Turn with us to the book of St. Luke's Gospel. St. Luke, chapter number 16. And I want to read only one verse of Scripture. And I want to read verse number 10. I told Ann, maybe jokingly a little bit, I said I'm going to go to the church and try to get a hold of something that I can prophesy smooth things to our people. It's been a little rough lately. I told someone we've had a lot of new people come, and they've sure got on board in the middle of a storm. We sure have had some rough sailing, and we still got some before we get home. I got to thinking today. I got down here and got to seeking the Lord, and immediately the Lord laid this thought on my heart, and I've preached probably from it before, but not from this text, and maybe not this way. After he got to lay this on my heart, I got to thinking about the way the Spirit of God's been moving. And Brother Mark came and preached to us on who is the King of your heart? And what is it that you want to rule over you? And what spirit do you want ruling over you? Brother David Noel preached the other night on not going back to the foot of the hill. I'm not going back there. Brother Lloyd Cheek came and preached on occupying the territory. And it seemed like that the Lord was just talking to us. And so tonight, I want to preach to you from St. Luke chapter 16 and verse number 10. And the Bible said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much." Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house again. I thank you for those that have come tonight, Lord. I pray that a spirit of worship might take hold of our hearts tonight. Open our understanding to the divine things of your word for a little while. I pray, God, that you would rebuke the devourer tonight and push back the force that would hinder the moving of your Spirit. God, give us victory, yea, all-time victory on the altar tonight. And we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. For we ask it in the name of Jesus. And the congregation said, amen. Amen. I'm going to preach to you tonight from this Scripture. A message that I have entitled, Little Things. Little Things. How often have you heard these words? Oh, but that is such a little thing. That is such a small thing to cause such controversy. I fail to see the harm in this little thing. And so, by the help of the Lord tonight, I intend to preach to you on this principle that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself laid down in Luke's Gospel in the text that I read to you. And prove to you that anyone who is not true in the smallest matters can neither be trusted in greater matters. In fact, he will prove unfaithful, finally, in all matters. Jesus said, "He that is unjust, he that is not true in the least of these things." I heard one preacher, he said his daddy come to see him. They are the ultra strict bunch. And his dad was going to go to work with him the next day. He was in an independent business. And his dad said, "Well, I'm going to go down to the shop with you, but I don't want to stay around there all day, so I'm going to follow you in my car." And there was a stop sign. that nobody stopped that. You know how kind them are. We've all got them. And so he knew that his dad was really strict on some things. And so he watched him, you know, as he rolled through that stop sign. And he thought, I'll have some fun out of Dad. And he got out there and he said, Dad, didn't you see that stop sign? He said, yeah, but it was just a little one. It's a rule. Ain't nobody stops at that stop sign. He said, Daddy, that stop sign's the same size that the rest of them are. Amen. Help me, Jesus. I want to preach to you tonight on little things. The little things. You see, the wise man, the preacher in the Song of Solomon declared in Song of Solomon 2 and 15 that it was the little foxes that damaged the vines. It was the little foxes that caused the vines to become unfruitful and quit bearing. It's not necessarily the big fox that run through the rows and pull down a pot of grapes and eat the fruit now and then, as damaging as that might have been, that was had them worried. It was those little foxes who couldn't reach up and pull down the fruit. And so they dug at the roots and chewed at the bark and caused the vine to die. It's not necessarily the principle he's laying down here is that it's not the size nor the magnitude, but it is the principle. Amen. Oh, it's going to be a long time till quitting time tonight. You see, we are guilty. I mean, we are. Of categorizing sin. There are some sins that are hideous. They're horrible. They're terrible. They're shocking to the senses. And we call him, he's guilty of a great offense. But then they are things that we tend to pass over. But the principle here, the person who takes an unfair advantage over others in small things, amen. You see, if you have this tendency to squeeze the man under you, to hold him to the least penny, they are men who are slaves to the men under them, to the women under them. They drive them and hold their wages as low as they can and extract all they can get out of them, who come in on the other hand and would put hundreds of dollars into a coffer for a just cause. But you see, the principle here that Jesus talked to us about, it's not somebody's idea or opinion, my friend. It's not just something we can say, well, oh, hum, what a good expository message tonight. It's a thing that Jesus said, he that is unfaithful in the very least. He that is unjust in the very least. There is that element in our character that will, if left unchecked, lead to wrongdoing in great matters. Jesus talked about Pharisees, who were the leaders in the synagogue, who were the most upstanding men in the community, who gave much on the Sabbath day. He looked at them and he said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. You know why? Because he said, you to the weak make merchandise out of widows' houses, and then for a pretense you come in and make your long and pious prayers. Come on.
You see, I feel like that in this last day we're living in, the Lord is talking to me and you. And He's trying to get us to realize the depth and the degradation of sin starts in little things. You see, it may be a little thing, but if that little thing leads into something else, it may become a big thing. You see, if that spirit of covetousness never gets a hold of you, if that spirit of selfishness never gets a hold of you in the least transaction in business, my friend, could I tell you that if you do never defraud your neighbor in a small business transaction, he will have to ever worry about you committing adultery with his wife. Hallelujah. You see, if we never allow those first little things, if we stop them when they're little things, we won't have to worry about them when they're full grown and come back to haunt us. Hey man, I'm just preaching tonight on over, Brother Johnny. It's such a little thing. I just can't see the importance of it. Well, it may not be horrible in itself. And they may mock you and make fun of you because we preach that we wear long-sleeved shirts. Well, that's crazy. That's silly. It may not be dangerous in itself, but Jesus is teaching us the divine principle of submission. If you are rebellious in the little things, rebellion don't start all at once. You don't try to rip the church up all at once. You don't defeat the doctrine all at once. It's in those little things. It's in those things you think, I'm not, that don't really matter. It's that we see the principle and the danger and the spirit that is behind it. Oh, there might not be anything wrong with it per se in itself, but it's the spirit that motivates you, that would push you to possess it. Amen. People, God help me now to be sweet, but people who tell little white lies will, given the right motivation, tell big black ones. You see, we sometimes think it's silly to be too, now let's don't get too narrow here. We tell a lie when we tell something that we know is not the truth. When I say, I'm going to tell Clay this little thing here, and I know it's going to upset him, and so I tell him something that I know is not the truth. Now, my motivation, I said, was just to have a little fun. And after a while, I go, hey, no, that's not true. I just kidding. No, you was lying. You were lying. You call up on the phone and tell them something, and they get all shook up. I fooled you. Yeah, you did. You lied. It's easy to fool, for I didn't think you'd lie. Oh, now come on, that's a little thing. Jesus said he that was not, did not have this principle. Could I tell you, know it already. But reputation is what everybody thinks you are. And that's why reputation don't matter. They told me one time that if I went and preached in a certain part of the country, it would hurt my reputation with the brethren in that part of the United States of America. And I said, you tell them brethren that my reputation ain't really what I'm concerned about. Because with a reputation like I've got, there ain't much they can do to hurt it. I mean, when you've been called Jim Jones and that you're the leader of a cult and that you've stole all the jewelry out of the church and bought Cadillacs with it, and what else can you do? What can they tell? They can tell that you preach against television and got one in your basement when you ain't got a basement. You see, I'm not really worried about my reputation, but I would be tremendously worried about a thing called character if I didn't stand for the truth because what somebody said about me. Reputation is what they think about you, and your character is what you are when there ain't nobody watching you. You see, a man that is just and faithful and true in little things, you don't worry about buying a bushel of taters off that man. You ain't worried about all the big taters being on top and the little taters down towards the bottom. Yep. If anything, there'll be big taters more on the bottom than the top. You see, one old farmer went out there and his grandson was a happy to use a mashing a bushel of taters out to sell. And he wasn't taking mine run either. He's taking good big potatoes and hand placing them in that basket. And he rounded that basket up full of it. And he said, Papa, I've seen you do this time and again. And I've noticed that you always handpick them. He said, Papa, they ain't nobody does that. Nobody expects that. And nobody sees you do that. He said, what do you do that for? He said, son, there's one that sees in secret. Amen. That man's buying them may not see them. He may not say one thing about them, but God's a seeing them. And come next spring, I want to plow the ground again and plant the seed. And I feel like that if I'm faithful to this little thing, amen, if I'm careful of this little thing, God will see me and God will bless me and God will help me. Amen, folks. It's a little thing, but it's little things now. That's caused us to have lawyers with triple copies signed when a man's word used to be his bond. You be careful when you tell somebody you're going to be there or do so and so, and then you don't do it. Why, if you look at that little angel of yours, and if it ain't been saved and sanctified, it's a devil. In spite of everything you can think of. And it will lie. It absolutely will lie if it's hemmed up. And if it ain't careful at learning at mama's knee, you do that one more time, and I'm going to spank you. What did I tell you? He looks up and thinks, you dummy, you done forgot? Yeah, but I ain't telling you what you said. Now I'm going to whip you. You've lied twice. I said you have lied. And you have instilled in your children the spirit of deception. Amen, brother. I'm a preaching on. Hey, I didn't just make this up. I found it, as the old folks said, written in the red letters. Jesus said, he said, he that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that which is great. Phil said to me the other night, I said, you know, Brother Gabbard, said, I found it to be true. I said, what are you talking about, son? He said, it wasn't hard to pay tithes on $100. He said, but man, I'm a feeling something moving on me paying them on $1,000. It ought not to be. It ought not to be. if he will steal a penny. Now the Bible said that a man of God would swear to his own hurt and change not. That means that even when it's hurting me to do it, if I gave my word, that's what I'll do. That's right. We have lost that spirit of integrity among our young folk and among our old folks too, because we no longer fear to commit the little sins. Amen. You see, he'll pay his banknote. Because if he don't pay his banknote, the bank will come after him and the creditors will cause him to have trouble and ruin his credit. So he'll pay that. He's faithful, and the credit bureau said he's AAA in his credit, and he's faithful in paying the big things. But it seems like it slips his mind that he owes you five. He just forgot all about borrowing that 10 spot off of you. He's going to pay you back on Saturday. Amen. But I want you to know, my friend, if the devil can get you to backslide in the little things today, after a while he'll hit you with something else, and the first thing you know is the big things don't seem so bad anymore. Let me tell you this, that the man who is unfaithful in the little things and keeps his integrity in the big things does so for selfish reasons. And that does not make you holy. If you will steal a penny today. One man back when they still had capital punishment and the world had some sense. One man stood on the gallows and said, "Look at a man. I started on the way down when I took a quarter out of my mama's purse without her knowing it." That little indiscretion, that little thievery is what it was, led to the gallows. Jesus said, it's the principle. The principle is that if, you see, whether you know it or not, that we are under an operation. There's always the varied influences that we hardly realize are existing and are continually moving upon us. And you are growing in grace and progressing in holiness, or you are going deeper and deeper and deeper into the depth of sin, one way or the other. And the principle starts with the little things. Oh, help me, Jesus. It's hot in here tonight, ain't it? You see, the process is so gradual that we scarcely notice it, and that we can vindicate it. But when you count your money, it's aggravating. It's their mistake, but it ain't your money. This ain't my money. Well, looky here. They didn't charge me for this. I know it's hard, but there have been many of a young thief broke when mama got the little boy home or little girl home and said, "Where'd you get that?" And upon further investigation, found out that they had shoplifted, is what it's called. Picked it up and stole it when nobody was looking and put it in their pocket. And by the year, mama marches them back down to the store, lays it on the counter, and pays for it and then puts it back. One merchant said, "Why, ma'am, that's all right." "Don't," she said, "you don't you tell me."
said, no, he's not going to get it. Said, no, it's not all right. He stole this thing, and he needs to learn that when you break the law, you pay. When you are unfaithful in the least. And that's why he said, when you break the least of these commandments, you are guilty of them all. Because a heart that is not condemned. And my friends, the influences of the world around us, the gradual influences that are steadily, scarcely, imperceptibly almost moving and motivating us, are hardening us. Amen. Are hardening us. It used to be that you didn't lock your tools up. Because if he borrowed your axe, he brought your axe back. We are constantly losing little things. I don't know how many bowls and vessels through the years that Anne has lost because she sent food somewhere or somebody borrowed them and they just inadvertently became mixed up in theirs until it was theirs and it's gone here and now nobody knows. But you see, when you cannot be counted on, well, I'm just so absent-minded. When we cannot be counted on to be faithful in the very least matter. There was a story told of a man who was a brilliant accountant. He was a brilliant mathematician. And the king sought for two people. He said, he advertised, I need two people. I need somebody who will to work in the stables and be over the dispensation, of the straw. And I need somebody who will be in the counting house of the king over all of his treasuries of gold. Naturally, the man applied. And the king looked over him and he said, you are this the very man I need. And he hired him to take care of the straw. Of course, he wasn't going to tell the king, I don't want the job. But after a month of sloppy bookkeeping, the king called him up, called him to give an account, and he said, no, I've not been paying much attention because this is beneath my dignity. And the king looked at him and said, my son, if you could not take care of straw, what made you think I'd put you over the gold? Some folks wonder why they never have a position, never called on for any authority. Be faithful in that little thing. Amen. You see, under the guise, now I got to quit. Under the guise of little things, many damnable devices have been allowed among us. You know, it was just a little thing. And so in 1958, when the Church of God could no longer... I'm a fixin'. Before I send any more nickels, dimes, or quarters to any missionary anywhere in the world, ask them one question. A friend of mine who has pastored and stood against jewelry and taught his people against jewelry for years, one of his young ladies a few days ago married a man who works for one of the leading missionaries. And if I called his name, you would know it. And he told her after she married him, she said, now, in order for us to work in that country, we must wear wedding bands. Because you got to have something to show you're married over there because they really go after people that ain't got a wedding band on.
And did you realize that this girl that had been preached and taught all of her life put that thing on and is trying to justify it and about to split a man's church? Now, it's a funny thing to me that they can preach in our pulpits and take up money for their offerings and preach like we preach and then get outside and put their wedding band back on. To me, my friend, that man is a hypocrite. But you see, these little things, and you'd be surprised how many holiness preachers have told me, well, now, that's just the way it is over there. That's their custom. Well, I preach to you to change your customs and then go over there and accept theirs. To me, that's a double standard. It ain't no wonder we ain't having a worldwide revival over there. Yeah, man. Well, stand by me. How many times have it been asked you, preacher, what about trimming your hair? Now, I don't mean cutting it. You know, just trimming the dead ends off of it. Just trimming it. Just a little. Well, it's such a little thing. The principle is that if you cannot be trusted with the scissors or the candle or whatever it is, in the little thing. Oh, yeah. Did you know that some places some of the girls have been taking a candle and burning the ends of their hair off so the preacher is cutting hair? I ain't guilty. And also, it won't be straight. Now, it might have been a little thing, but you know how quick a little thing grows to a bigger thing and a bigger thing? Do you know sin always comes in multiples? It never comes alone. There's no such thing as one sin. When you commit one sin, you've got to commit another sin to cover that sin up. And then, just in case, you've got another one. One person came to me one time, and she said to me, she said, Brother Gabbard, said, you prophesied to me tonight. I said, what did you say? I said, I have no idea. I said, when I'm in the leading of the Spirit, I said, I'm obeying the Spirit. I said, I have no idea. Well, so-and-so prophesied to me, and he knew exactly. I said, sure. I said, he said it to 100,000 people through the years. I said, but when you don't lie, you don't remember what you said. Only the liar has to be careful and tell it the same way both times. Amen. Hallelujah. It's the little things. You know, they even told me when I was on the evangelist field, now, Brother Gabbard, I know you preach against women wearing pants and stuff, but where I work, I've got to wear this apparel where I work. But if you watch them, and they wore it to work, and on the way home from work, they didn't drive straight home and put a sack around them and run in the house and get it off and go back to Kroger's. They stopped at Kroger's with that on, stroll right in like every other whore would. So don't call. I ain't calling them. I just tell you how they was dressing. They was dressing in an abominable way. But the Bible called was a Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm preaching, you see, on little things. But the little things split the church of God. Look where it's at now. One Cleveland Assembly church preacher asked me one time, what do y'all believe? I said, I believe what you did before your church backslid. Why? He said, man, I said, I'm just telling you, I still believe what the old men in the church of God wrote in their minute book and would turn you out for if you didn't keep. Amen. God didn't change, but little things creeping in. Little things. But Jesus, see, they wasn't worried about. And these folks ain't. Well, I want you to know I can live in a way if I'm in Russia or Tokyo or wherever I am in such a way that I don't have to worry about them propositioning me. They'll know I'm married pretty quick. Amen. And it won't take a band of gold around my finger to let them know it either. If they can bring the band of gold in to that foreign country, let them know you're married now, Well, next year the custom might be putting a ring in your nose. Is all our missionaries going to put a ring in their nose to let everybody know they're married next year? It ain't that. It's a little thing, yes. It's a little fox digging at the roots of holiness, desiring to bring us down and make us conform to the liberalism of this world that we're living in. Amen. Amen. It's the principle that I'm preaching to you about tonight that Jesus said, well, now, I know it ain't break time. They don't pay me enough to work hard. I ain't killing myself for them. They don't pay me enough. Well, who held the gun to your head and made you take that job? Oh, I know. I know it rocks the boat. I mean, it really rocks the boat. And sometimes it's easier to just float along than just to rock the boat. But could I tell you, if you will steal 5 minutes off an hour when I ain't looking, I ain't going to let you run the cash register at my store. Because what you'll say is, man, we're having it hard this week at the house. And you know, 5 for him and 5 for me. I'll pay it back someday. It justified. They justified. They justified. But it's sin. Well, it's just the way I am. You know, that's just the way I am. I said, that's my nature, you know. I know it's temper and everybody else, but me, that's just, you know, I'm nervous and, you know, I'm just fractious. And that's the way I've always been, you know. Little thing. Little thing. But I'm going to tell you something. God dealt with my heart. He talked to me about defending myself. He talked to me about being the macho man. He talked to me about losing my temper. And I'm going to tell you something. You keep throwing your temper tantrum in the little things. On the children. On the husband. On the wife. You keep losing it till one of these days you've lost it. And there ain't nothing you can do to get it back and your ministry's in trouble. And it started with a little thing that you wouldn't conquer. That little old stubborn me. That little old, I'll have it my way or bust. If you will steal a penny, you will steal $1,000. Amen. That's the way Jesus looked at it. You want to know how He looks at sin? He looks at sin that way. If you can tell little white lies without your conscience pricking you, under the right kind of a situation, you'd lay your hand on the book and take an oath and perjure your soul if you were sure you wouldn't get caught, if it gets you out of what you're in. One of the first things, did you know what? In 20 years, the thing I found more than anything else, I don't care what kind of situation that people's got in, I found out, this is the first thing I'll tell anybody in a counseling session. Anybody comes to me to counsel, I'll tell them this first thing. Don't you ever lie to me. I don't care what it is. I don't care what's happened. If you lie to me, there ain't no way I can help you. And if you ever lie to me once, there ain't no way that I can ever be sure again. But if I know you ain't going to lie, if I know it don't matter how bad it is, you're telling the truth, then we can just fall down beside of you and push and shove and dig and kick and scratch till we get out of it. But you see, you'll lie to yourself. I can handle this. I know. I don't know how many folks I've seen addicted. Ask them, well, I can quit anytime I want to. I can handle this.
that first little lie to myself. Little justifying, soothing of my conscience. When I really would do that, but you know, I'm just so busy I ain't got time. But if it's really something I want to do, I find the time to do it. Been better off to say, I don't want to do that, and I ain't going to. Amen. VCR is not wrong if we use it right. That's the argument that they're telling me now. Let's don't split the churches. I told him, I said, I'm sorry. But I said, I preach it's wrong. I preach it's sin. And if a man's got one, he ain't preaching for me. Well, I can't split the movement over. This is the same argument they used against television when I first started preaching against television. Why, it's got a knob on it. I control it. I've never met a man that controlled a television. I have never met a woman that controlled a television. And the kids most of the time control it. Amen. But it's little things. And it seemed like today, when I come down here to get a hold of the Lord, I wanted to preach you into the very vestibules of God tonight. But it's just a moving in my soul that if we are going to go back with Him when He comes, we are going to have to be pure in our hearts, pure in our motives, pure in our thought life. Amen. Pure in our hearts. It's that little thing. I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. I can handle it. I know that Brother Gabbard thinks it's crazy. But I can handle it. You know, there's nothing wrong. Now, come on. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Let me tell you something. Did you read that scene and not have any wrong thoughts? You ain't careful. You can only look at the newspaper and not have a wrong thought. But it's when we give place to these little things. Just a little thing. It's Wednesday night prayer service, and I've been awful tired and busy. I'll miss. That's why that I tell you right up front, if you're going to be a member of the church, I expect you to be here unless they are extenuating circumstances beyond your control. And they ain't ones you made either. Because when you start missing Wednesday, it'll be easy to miss Saturday, and then a Sunday morning now and then. And the first thing you know, you have brought a reproach upon yourself and upon us because they knew you was going here. And just the little things. Just little things. I can handle it. I know. But I'll just get this close to you. I'll just get this close. Just close enough to feel the heat, but not close enough to get burnt by the fire. Watch out. There is an irresistible pull when you get out of your place that pulls you. But when it's a little thing, if you would stop it when it was little, it wouldn't grow up to be something big. My text was, and we're going to pray. Jesus said, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. The principle is what you're going to be judged on, not the size of your sin. The principle of your heart. And the principle of your heart makes you give 16 ounces to the pound. 100% to the dollar. When nobody ain't watching. It makes you put the same material in the wall when you can cover it up, Roger, that you do when the inspector's going to be laying the chalk line to it. Amen. I told you about the fellow. I think I did. I'm going to tell you again. It's come to me. We're going to pray. Get ready to pray. This fellow had built several houses for this realtor. Through the years, he'd done a lot of building for him. And he was getting a little bit older. And the realtor called him in. He said, now I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be gone for a while. I won't be back for several months. But I want you to build this house plan right here. And I want you to put the most expensive stuff in it you can put. Figure the cost of it. Don't cut a corner nowhere. Go, if there's a question, go higher with the rate. And come back and give me the cost of it. And he told him, after several days, I can build it for this much right here. And he figured it to put the best in it. He put the money in the bank. He said, draw on it as you need it. It's already set up. Build the house. I'll be back. It'll be a few months. Well, that builder thought to himself, I'm getting old. Every man needs to take out, look out for himself here. Man, I can get me a pretty good nest egg. And nobody will ever know the difference. This will stand for years anyway. Nobody will ever know. It won't matter. And so he cheapened it down. He cut here and he cut there and he covered it up here and covered it up there. It'll stand for a while anyway. And of course he got into the spirit of it, and the farther he went, the cheaper the material got. And he finished the house. And the realtor came. He said, is the house done? Yes, sir. Here's the keys to the front door. It's done. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out a piece of paper and he said, here's the deed to it. You've been a faithful servant for the years to me. Here's the keys. It's your house. That's what you do when you're not faithful in the little things. Let's stand.